Chapter 16. Mortimer and I followed a group of excited aliens toward a wide stairwell down into the bowels of the mining station. Just before going down the steps, I spotted a tug vessel towing a black Krell ace fighter toward a nearby hangar. I cursed myself silently. I'd been intending to watch for Braid and see if I could get her to talk to me, but it appeared she'd landed quietly away from the rest of us and already vanished. I sighed and started down the steps, catching up with Mortimer, who walked alone at the back of the crowd. It was moving slowly down the steps, bottlenecked at the doorway at the bottom. "Thanks for talking me out of doing something stupid up there," I said to Mortimer as we waited.
"Well, thank you, in turn, for saving my life," Mortimer said.
They pressed their lips together firmly, which made them look annoyed. But I was beginning to wonder if maybe I just didn't understand Dione expressions, because their next words were friendly.
"You are a fantastic pilot, Alanique. Better than any I think I've ever seen."
"Have you seen many?" I asked. "I mean, aren't you really young?"
"Ah, yes," Mortimer said. "I'm 2 months old, but I have some of the memories and skills of my parents. One of them, my left parent, was a commercial pilot during their youth, which is how I inherited the skill."
"Huh," I said, taking a step downward. "The people I talked to were surprised you came here to test. Why would a Dione come try out for this? And why wouldn't any other of your kind think of doing it? Unless that's too forward a question."
"No, no," they said. "It's not too forward a question at all. Peace forbid. We encourage lesser species to learn of our ways, as we hope it will usher them toward prime intelligence. The answer to your question is simple. There were no other Dions in the test because my kind have carefully cultivated souls, ones purged completely of aggression or violence. To come and then train for killing, why, it would be unthinkable."
"But aren't some of the drone pilots Dions?" I asked.
"Some have been, but never for long. The drone pilots are almost always Tanasi," Mortimer explained, using the name of one of the leader races of the superiority that I hadn't met. "They have a special ability to fight, but not become emotional as they do so. The rest of us are very peaceful."
"And yet," I said, "your Dione leaders have no problem sending drones to murder a group of unprepared pilots?"
"This..."
Mortimer looked down at their feet as they descended another step.
"This was unexpected. I'm certain the officials know what they're doing. And they're right. It wouldn't do to send people into battle who will simply flee. So some kind of extreme test was required, right?"
"Seems to me they're a bunch of hypocrites," I started.
"Spensa," Embot said in my ear. "I am not the best at anticipating proper social reactions for organics, but could you maybe not insult the first Dione friend you've made? We might need to learn something from them."
I bit off my words with difficulty. Embot was probably right. "Why did you come to this test then?" I asked Mortimer instead. "Your soul isn't... what did you say? Purged of aggression?"
"I am a special case," they replied. "I was born with an aggressive personality, and so must prove myself. I came here in an attempt to do that."
We eventually reached the bottom of the steps and entered a large room with a low ceiling. Bright white lights illuminated cafeteria-style counters and tables. It reminded me of the mess hall back at Alta Base, though the scents, well, they were unusual. I caught some familiar ones. Fried food, baking bread, something that was like cinnamon. But those scents mixed with a whole host of strange ones. Muddy water, burning hair, engine grease. It made for an overpowering, confusing wall of sensation that stopped me as soon as I passed through the doorway.
"What do you eat?" Mortimer asked, pointing at some signs hanging over various serving stations. "Carbon-based vegetation, I assume? There are mineral cocktails, though I doubt you can metabolize that. And over on the far side, there's a line for lab-grown meat.
That seemed to bother them, judging by the way they drew their lips back into a frowning scowl that showed teeth. I tried to think of how Alanique would respond.
Your species, Embot said in my ear, has a diet roughly similar to a human one, though with more nuts and less meat. Also, no milk.
Seriously? I whispered, moving with Morimer toward the vegetable line. I waved at my chest.
Alanique has breasts. What are they for? Decoration?
No milk from other creatures, I should say, Embot said. Your species finds it extremely gross. As do I, by the way. Do you even stop to think about how many strange liquids you organic squirt from your orifices?
No stranger than the ideas that squirt from your orifice sometimes, Embot. I followed Morimer through the line and got a salad of something that seemed similar to algae strips. Embot assured me that it fit both my physiology and that of Alanique. As we collected our food, I couldn't help noticing how much space the other pilots gave us. When I went to grab some water, I had to crowd between two large gorilla alien Burl, who barely gave me a glance. So it wasn't me that everyone was staying away from. It was Morimer. Yeah, I thought, sipping my cup of water and hitting another pocket of open space as I walked back toward them. They're scared of Morimer. Members of other species kept shooting glances toward them, as if suspicious or worried about the presence of a dyon in this space reserved for lesser species. I walked with my tray toward an empty table near the corner of the room. The cinnamon scent was strong here, but as I moved to sit down, Morimer caught me by the arm.
"Not there," they hissed. "Are you crazy?"
I frowned, looking at the empty table. It was like all the others. Morimer steered me to another empty table and settled down. Scud. I had no idea what I was doing. What was wrong with the first table? I sat down, confused. I needed to steal a hyperdrive soon, because I was going to screw up this act sooner or later. So, I said to Morimer as I dug into my salad. You said you've been alive, 2 months?
Yes, Morimer said. I will be born in 3 months, as a baby, though I will retain these memories as I grow. Or, well, I hope to be born in 3 months. Whether or not I can enter the final stage of the birthing process will depend on whether or not my family members agree that this personality is a good one to add to their ranks.
That's... huh. So strange.
Different? Morimer offered. I realize that this is not the way most species do things.
I don't want to be offensive, I answered carefully. But yeah, it's a little odd to me. I mean, how does it work? Do you have two brains right now?
Yes, I have two of most internal organs. Though the extra arms and legs were absorbed during the cocooning process, and my parents' brains are linked together for now, acting as one.
Wow, what a strange conversation.
If you don't mind, they said, you have the look of a race that uses sexual reproduction with two different sexes, male and female.
When I nodded, they continued.
That is one of the most popular biological templates in the galaxy, though no one is certain why. Could be parallel evolution. I prefer the theory that you all have some common ancestors who spread through the stars using cytonic hyperjumps long before you even had stone tools.
I sat up straighter. Cytonic hyperjumps, you say? I asked, as innocently as I could.
Oh, you probably don't know about those, Morimer said. People used to be able to hyperjump using just their minds. It was very dangerous, but I find it an interesting theory as to why some species from different planets look similar. Don't you agree that would be exciting, if it could ever be proven?
I nodded. Maybe I could learn something about myself here. I wonder how they did it.
Do you know anything about the process?
No, they said. Just what's in the books. And the warning that it's dangerous. The texts are very careful not to talk about specifics.
Drat. I looked closely at Mortimer and could tell, now that I thought to check, that the left and right halves of Mortimer's face had different features. Two people had actually melded together somehow, creating Mortimer, an individual who was larger than most Ions I had seen, but only by a few centimeters. The couple must have shed a lot of mass during the pupation? I realized I was staring and looked back down at my salad with a blush. Sorry.
It's all right, Mortimer said with a laugh. I can only guess how odd it must seem. Though I find it odd that so many species reproduce your way without ever even trying out the personality of the new child. You're left with random chance. I, instead, can interact with my extended family, and they can decide if this is a version of me they like.
I found something about that to be distinctly unsettling. And if they don't? Like you, I mean. Mortimer hesitated, then poked at their food.
Well, then when I enter the cocoon in 3 months, my parents will decide that I'm not quite right. They'll pupate again, and I'll emerge with another personality. The extended family will try that version out for 5 months, and we'll eventually settle on a version of me that everyone likes.
That sounds dangerous, I said. I mean, no offense, but I don't think I like the implications. Your family can just keep shaking up your personality until they get something they approve of? I don't think anyone would have approved of me.
Non-Dions always say things like that, Mortimer said, sitting up straighter. But this process has created for us a very peaceful society of prime intelligence. It does put stress upon me to prove myself, however.
They waved toward the room full of pilots.
That has pushed me to do something extreme. As I told you, this version of my personality is a little aggressive. I thought, what if I show my family that this is a good thing? Maybe it was impulsive of me to join the call for pilots, but with only 3 months left, this seemed the best way to prove myself.
But I started to object, then trailed off as I noticed that someone new had entered the dining hall. Well, a group of someone's. Some 50 kitsen, each maybe 15 centimeters tall. The furry creatures marched up to our table, most wearing little white uniforms of a naval style, their fluffy tails sticking out the back. I stifled a smile. They seemed to be a powerful spacefaring race that had shown bravery and loyalty in combat. But, scud, they were also really cute. They stopped at the empty chair next to me, and several raised a ladder against it. Others scurried up, then placed another ladder leading to the table's top. Finally, Hesho, still wearing his formal red silk clothing, climbed up the ladders onto the tabletop. He raised a paw to me, fingers clenched in a fist. Seeing him up close, I could make out the pattern of red on his white fur snout, a color repeated in the fringe of his long pointed ears.
Alanik of the Urdale, he said,
his translation collar projecting a bold, deep voice.
Today, we feast to our victory.
Captain Hesho of the Kitsen, I said, mimicking his closed-fisted gesture. Did you only just arrive at lunch?
We fetched our own victuals and brought them here, he said. We cannot trust a superiority cafeteria to have proper feasting materials appropriate to our station.
Another kitsen arrived with an oversized chair, which they placed on the tabletop for Hesho to settle into, his bushy tail sticking out the back. Others brought a small table, which they set in front of him and draped with a tablecloth.
So,
Hesho said, looking from me to Mortimer.
We are colleagues now, we three. Shall we make a formal pact of mutual aid and support?
I glanced at Mortimer.
I don't know that I'd thought about it that much, I said.
We will need trustworthy allies if we are to survive future engagements,
Hesho continued. Though, to be honest, I do not know if having a Dione in our small fleet will aid our progress or hinder it.
Probably hinder, Mortimer said, looking down at their plate again. The officials will push me harder than they would a member of a lesser race.
Then the Kitson shall welcome this extra difficulty, Hesho said solemnly. Perhaps it will prove, finally, that we are worthy to become full citizens of the superiority.
Do we have any idea what happens next? I asked them. We passed their test, right? Next, we'll be trained to fight the Delvers, Mortimer said.
Which means what? I asked.
I still had no idea what I was in for.
It is hard to say, Hesho said. I don't believe any of us expected the test today to be as brutal as it was.
As he talked, another group of Kitson arrived with steaming plates of food, which they arranged on Hesho's table. One, wearing a silken dress, cut his food and began feeding it to him. The others busily set up feasting materials on the tops of several of the chairs at our table.
The superiority is odd, Hesho continued, around bites of his tiny steak. Its officials will work very hard to protect the pristine and peaceful lives of innocents. But once you step outside the bounds of propriety, their retribution can be swift and brutal.
The superiority is wise, Mortimer said. It has stood for centuries, providing safety and prosperity for billions of beings.
I do not contest those facts, Hesho said, and my people are eager to have our citizenship level increased. Still, you cannot dispute that some departments, particularly the Department of Protective Services, can show a disturbing lack of empathy.
I nodded, and the table fell silent. As we ate, I found my focus drawn to something that I must have been feeling all along. The call of the stars. Starsight's cytonic suppression field had quieted it, but out on this station, I could hear the song again. I couldn't distinguish what was being said, but that sound in the back of my mind meant this station was sending out communications. I set down my fork and closed my eyes, imagining myself flying among the stars, as Gran-Gran had taught me. I felt myself drifting. Maybe I could follow those invisible trails. Did some of them lead to Detritus and the superiority forces posted there? But there was nothing that gave me a clue toward that end. I did feel something else nearby, though, a kind of humming familiarity. What was that? Braid, I realized, recognizing the feeling from earlier. She's not in the room, but she's near. I opened my eyes and glanced around. The bustling room was filled with aliens eating and drinking, or in the case of some very strange rocky creatures, pouring liquid on their heads. The sensation was coming from outside the room. I made an excuse to the others, saying I needed to find a restroom. Mortimer pointed the way, and I ducked out of the dining hall, glancing in the direction Mortimer had indicated. A string of doors ran down the hallway there, each with a sign identifying the kind of disposal unit contained therein. I glanced in the other direction, where Braid's cytonic sensation seemed to be coming from. There were no guards that I could see, so I slipped away down the hall. The feeling got stronger as I reached a door off to the side. It was cracked, and I peered in to see that indeed, Braid was there. And she was speaking with a group of Dione officials, as well as Winzik.